What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a new year, and I have a new podcast here at The Ringer, Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy, Pasha Hagigi.
Austin and I go way back and talk so much hoop already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on all of these conversations.
Every week, Pasha and I will hit on the biggest stories happening in the league
and get Austin's perspective of someone currently hooping in the NBA.
Tap into Off Guard every Friday on The Ringer NBA show feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Cold open question of the week, Kaz.
What's up, Shoes?
Who made out better at the Super Bowl last night? Was it The Undertaker or NWA champ Tyrus?
Gotta go Undertaker. Gotta go Undertaker. I'm sorry. The NWA title, I wouldn't even notice it was there because that commercial just kind of came so quickly. But the Undertaker with the DraftKings, I'm not an under. The pun, I'm a sucker for a good pun.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, give me Undertaker. Yeah, Undertaker made out. Definitely.
Let me ask you this, though. Better. What is weirder? What's a weirder transition from his rest in ring days? Undertaker breaking kayfabe or Undertaker becoming self-aware? Undertaker playing Undertaker in a meme-y sort of way?
You know, I think my favorite Undertaker has been like podcast Undertaker, right? Like,
oh, so good.
Yeah, like when he's in like his, when he gets in like his Joe Rogan bag and he can kind of like see a little bit of those old and he gets a little bit of those old school like tendencies like out, and then like he kind of reels himself in. He's like, oh man, but you know, we don't do that no more. That's my favorite Undertaker. Like he'll always come to the edge of like saying some shit that is like 1000% frowned upon now. But he always stops right before then. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, well, but you know, that's what we do now, and you know, he's great. I'm not a fan of self-aware Undertaker. I still like to believe he's a dead mortician, with a, I guess, uncle or father that keeps his power in the box or urn. I like that guy more.
Yeah, I like him popping up in Super Bowl commercials. I just like weird. I like weird Undertaker. I mean, listen, podcast Undertaker is great. Definitely, for some reason, weird to see him in the commercial, but I'll take it. I'll take it. He's an icon. He deserves to be out in the world with, you know, Kevin Hart and whoever else they can cram into a 30-second spot. So,
you know what's cool about that, though? It's like, that's the magic of wrestling, right? Like, you can't get Captain America in a commercial. You can get Chris Evans, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. It's like, he just plays Captain America. It's like, no, that's the Undertaker. That is him. That's the guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
I mean, WWE's got to sign off on that too.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, that's the beauty of wrestling in general. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it's why Ric Flair is so fun to see in the wild when he's doing regular shit. It's like Stone Cold Steve Austin being like a Texas redneck doing regular stuff is awesome, because it's like, oh, he's not playing a character. Like, some way, shape, or form, that is still the actual guy who did all the cool stuff that you read about and watched on TV. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that guy, Chris Evans, didn't kill Thanos.
That we know of, yeah.
Not we know of, no. He also didn't catch the hammer, but whatever.
Yeah, but if all the people in the world they can catch that hammer, Chris Evans has got... Anyway, forget about it. Let's just start the show.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to.
And you're listening,
you're listening to.
You are listening to the Masked Man Show.
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 Masked Man Show.
Welcome to the Masked Man Show with Kaz. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, brother. How about yourself, man?
Good. Did you have a good Super Bowl Sunday?
I had a good Super Bowl Sunday. I called the Chiefs winning. I called the Mahomes MVP. I called a Travis Kelce anytime touchdown. But most importantly, I called Rihanna's first song, Bitch Better Have My Money, which was my best bet of last night. So I'm very excited about that. So I didn't really, after she performed that song, I really didn't even care who won after that point. I was just glad I got that one right, you know?
Just, that's a big bet.
It's a big bet, definitely.
What was your favorite part of the night? Was it you weren't pulling for the Chiefs outside of the bet, right? Or were you?
I was pulling for the Chiefs only because in this past week we've gotten to know Patrick Mahomes' dad, and he's my favorite person on the planet.
Yeah,
and
you got to know him in real life?
Not in real life, but he's just
watching him on TV.
For a guy who was, he's not no stranger. Like, he used to be a New York Met. He was kind of had his own sort of fame before that. He's been relatively, out of the spotlight. But, getting to see him and just, realizing, Patrick's dad is, he's not just a black daddy. He's, mechanic black daddy. Like, he could, fix anything around your house. Like, he definitely knows how to, he definitely has a few black miles in the back of his pocket. He's 1,000% like that black daddy. And I thought he was hilarious. So I was pulling for him. And, I was just rooting for a good game. I was happy to see two incredible quarterbacks. First time two black quarterbacks went up at it against each other. And on top of that, they both performed, they both had a hell of a games between each other. Kind of hate the way it ended with the flag. Would love to see the game decided on the actual play and not that bullshit. But other than that, it was a great game.
No, I mean, it was a very pro wrestling ending, right? It was just
very,
the ref botched
very,
it.
Very dusty finish. Yes.
The dusty finish. The good thing about the what redeems the dusty finish is that there's a, there'll be a do-over, right? You
this
can come
true.
Back, come back next month at the Coliseum and you can see these two guys fight again. That's not how football works, though. So, I look for something a little bit more definitive there. That certainly was not that. I did a whole post show on the press box talking about the broadcast and stuff. So you guys can listen to that there if you really care about my Super Bowl thoughts. But I know what you're here for. You're here for pro wrestling. So it's Monday. It's Elimination Chamber week. You know, we always celebrate Elimination Chamber week at the Ringer Wrestling Show. we'll do our full predictions and everything on the Thursday show. And we'll have a lot of content coming up this week on the whole Ringer Wrestling Show feed. I know Rosenberg's got something big coming tomorrow. So keep an eye out. But let's talk a little bit about SmackDown, it being
let's
Monday
talk about
and all.
It.
Let's gear up for Elimination Chamber with some SmackDown goings on. The big news or the big segment of Friday, coming hot on the heels of the big segment on Monday being a Paul Heyman Cody Rhodes co-promo that we talked about last week, was an even shorter backstage sort of pre-tape bit between Sami Zayn and Jey Uso, wherein Sami said, sort of apologized for what he's putting Jey through and said, I didn't get to tell you, but I acknowledge you. By the way, they should have Valentine's Day themed shirts with a candy heart that just says "I acknowledge you" in that all caps sort of broken up text.
Oh, it would sell like gangbusters. You get what I mean?
I acknowledge right and now. Then the letter U. WWE, you can have that. I guess it's probably too late. But
it's too late.
But yeah, I mean, I know this doesn't make for the best on-air content, but what do you think? Where do you think we're going with this? I've been pretty consistent in my booking expectations for this angle, but where do you think we're going on Saturday?
Dave, there once was a great American television series, probably the greatest American television series of all time. It was on HBO. It was called The Wire.
God, and I thought you were going to say Girls. Go on.
Close enough. Love Girls. But The Wire, if you look on Sammy's Instagram page, there's a picture of him at the end of SmackDown giving Jimmy that fist dap right after he said he acknowledges him. And the caption says, "We ain't got to dream no more." Now, Brian Waters, you being the Maryland representative, we didn't even discuss this before the show, but if I say we ain't got to dream no more, what terrible thing followed that statement, Brian?
Well, see, the problem is, I'm one of the very few people from Baltimore that didn't see the Wire.
Oh no!
What? Is it just too close to home? It's like, why I don't watch some wrestling shows, because I'm just like, man.
Oh my gosh! Oh, Brian, it was such a
layup. I watched season one.
I don't want to put you on blast in front of all your Maryland folks. Now you got to explain everybody.
I know more
about
Power than I do The Wire.
Oh, Power! Jesus Christ! Oh my God! All right. So for the sake of this bit not working immediately, Sammy quotes a scene from The Wire where the character who played Idris Elba, who was played by Idris Elba, it was this thing that he said right before he was on the run and he gets caught up by Omar and the Muslims. And right when he's caught and he has nowhere to go, he asks him, you know, what does he want? Does he want money? Does he want this? He wasn't that. And Omar pretty much just told him, like, you see, you don't get it. It's not about that. It's not about this. And then Sammy, who I guess will be played by Idris Elba, before he could even finish the sentence, "Well, fucking get on with it." Before you even finish that sentence, he gets pumped full of lead, killed off the show. To me, David, to make a perfectly long story short, it feels like Sammy knows he's whistling into his death right now in Montreal. And he kind of probably, unless he all knows what we know, that we all watch The Wire and all watch wrestling, maybe it's a reverse psychology. Maybe he's either telling people he knows what's coming or I don't know, but it seems to me that he knows he's walking into a betrayal and he knows that this is going to be the best, his best chance at going down swinging. So having Jay by his side, knowing that's his last saving grace in the match of his life, kind of sets the scene for him to be the one to cause him to not have his dreams come true in Montreal and win the Undisputed Championship and go on to WrestleMania against Cody Rhodes. That's where I think we're going.
Yeah. So Monday Night Raw is tonight. We'll talk a little bit about it, but this is going to be, you know, Cody last week, before all the Heyman stuff, put over Sami Zayn, right? I think he kind of found the exact right note for that. I feel like that's what he's going to hit back on tonight, right? He's got to kind of put that match over and leave the door open for that to be a possibility. I'm interested to see where they go. But I agree that the line that really caught me from that Sammy J interaction was not the stuff you talked about, was not the "I acknowledge you." It was Sammy saying, "I'm going to win. Like, I'm going to do it. I don't know how, but I'm going to do it," which is kind of not out of character, but that level of confidence isn't like it isn't necessary sort of to the story. I guess it's sort of obvious. I guess it's like what you would expect, but it's, but you know, I expect me to be just like, I don't care if I die. I'm going to teach that. I'm going to show him that I can stand, that I can stand up to him. But to go as far as like, I'm going to win, I don't know, makes me, well, number one, think he's definitely going to lose, but also just sort of, I don't know, it adds another layer to the whole thing. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like I think they did that on purpose, right? Like you mentioned how the Heyman storyline has kind of been like the B side of this whole thing, right? Going from mm-hmm. Cody to Paul. And I think that was done on purpose. I think looking at Cody on Monday Night Raw, he was sparkling. He had the literal spotlight on him while he was in Paul Heyman's face. He was suited up, booted up. You know what I mean? Looks like the WrestleMania main event. Or as on the other side on SmackDown, like, there was no big entrance for Sammy. Like, he snuck up behind Paul. No music. He still has the same hoodie on, same shirt. He looks disheveled. He almost looks deranged a little bit. Like, it's almost, it's a level of delusion that you kind of have to have when you know you got to beat somebody or die trying, which is the same thing that Kevin Owens said mm-hmm. before he went up against Roman Reigns, right? So I could see a world where, yeah, this match still gets put over and maybe like Sami Zayn gets his piece of flesh off of Roman Reigns, but something's going to happen that's going to stop him from reaching that ultimate goal and winning the Undisputed Championship. I don't know what it is, but it's just, you know, they've told the story gloriously. Like, nothing that's been done with the Bloodline storyline has been by accident. There's a reason why Sammy looks like he just rolled out of bed and hasn't slept in 2 weeks. And there's another reason why Cody looks like he looks like a rock star. So every time he comes out and he gets the pomp and circumstance every time. There's no advertising for Sammy. They haven't mm-hmm. advertised Sammy in 3 weeks. He's either come out through the crowd or come out and stuck up behind people or just done just like real on the low shady shit. So not necessarily sure, man. Like, I'm not sure exactly where exactly how they're going to do it. But if we could just kind of take the context clues on how they've been presenting each character in the story, you can kind of see that they're going to go where betrayal is probably going to be the biggest theme at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's going to be some betrayal one way or the other.
One way or the other, they're setting it up. Like, Sammy came in and talked to Paul and was like, what do you think's going to happen? Do you think Solo's going to do this, that, and the third? He's basically saying, like, the Bloodline's about to crumble and you see it coming, you know? So someone's going to betray somebody, you know what I mean? And I think there's a good chance that us all assuming Jay's going to be the one to turn on Sammy. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's too obvious that something's going to happen that may be better than what we all thought.
Okay, right. I wouldn't put it past him. I do think that the longer we live in the Triple H creative world, it feels like, well, for one thing, it feels like the journey, you know, what really matters are the friends we made along the way or whatever, you know, it's right. Like the journey, you don't discount the journey, but when we get to the end, if it makes sense, it's sort of, it's almost like an Occam's razor thing.
Yeah.
You do the thing that makes the most sense, that furthers the plot, whatever, and you do it in the best possible way and it works. Right. I mean, I don't think Sammy's going to win. I think that the straightest line is Jay costs him the victory, you know, and it doesn't matter. Like, all the back and forth has been fun, has been exhilarating, has been great to watch. But does it really change the stakes for Saturday? I don't know. I mean, and I guess, you know, with WrestleMania looming, you start trying to, you know, you get pulled into the orbit of what makes that card. I mean, people are talking about Usos versus Owens and Sammy as if it's just already like in ink for night one, you know? Yeah. And I don't know that's the straightest path there. I don't know. I won't be disappointed no matter what. It would be kind of fun if they threw another monkey wrench in, but
yeah, like I kind of feel like the Bloodline story is so rich and so dense that it wouldn't shock me if there were multiple Bloodline matches at WrestleMania, like that, you know, like I'm starting to feel like the tag team title storyline, which kind of makes sense at the same time, but doesn't when it comes to Kevin and Sammy quite yet, because we haven't gotten to the point where Kevin would return or Sammy wants to fight Jay or any of those things. But There's still the story to tell about Jay and Roman. There's still the story to tell about Jimmy and Jay. There's a story to tell about where Solo fits into all this. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think it's too cut and dry to just be like, well, Roman and Cody are going to have their match and Jimmy, Jay, Kevin, and Sam are going to have their match and not think eventually it's all going to be somehow connected, because they started doing the dot connecting this past week on Monday Night Raw. So I'm not necessarily sure how they get there, but there's just a small, there's just a part of me that truly believes that there'll be multiple bloodline matches at WrestleMania. The story, they've taken up too much real estate on TV for it to just all culminate in one match in two, between two.
Yeah,
nights.
I think there'll be multiple matches, but I think there's the main event and there's a tag match and maybe Solo gets to do
something in between
too.
There.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, I think they got to be something in between.
But again, the straightest line would be whatever happens at WrestleMania, and then at Backlash or whatever the Saudi pay per view is, we get. I guess Sammy won't be at the Saudi pay per view, huh?
He will not. No,
but I guess you could work towards, you know, Cody and Kevin and Sammy versus the Bloodline or something. I mean, I don't know that would really do any of them any favors, but yeah, we'll see. I hope you're right. I hope. The more layers of complexity, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
I think that's where we're at.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So we're talking about the WrestleMania main event. One man who certainly will not be in it is Seth Rollins. Seth, who has been on just a tear of irrational levels of honesty in interviews lately, said it's going to be a generational main event of WrestleMania. Again, hard for me to feel any way but slighted by it. So it is what it is. Especially coming off of our fake trades episode last week. Was that last week?
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about Seth Rollins, watching him, I mean, just take up all the oxygen whenever he's on screen for his 2 seconds, cackling, whatever else. I was going to say, where is Seth Rollins in the hierarchy? But I think that we kind of come to a pretty bland answer. Seth is obviously is a top tier guy who's just not in the main event right now. I think he's a little bit hamstrung, frankly, by the fact that like his storyline with Roman is sort of so established, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's like in your single days why you can't like date an ex, because you're either like all in or all out, you know, there's no like casual there's no casual version of it. Mm-hmm. But also, well, he's just, it's okay. Answer. Let's talk about it this way.
Yeah.
Seth and Kevin Owens. Compare their place on the roster and their value to WWE.
Seth and Kevin Owens are like, they're like Giannis and Embiid, right? Like Giannis and Embiid are always going to be in the MVP conversation. They're definitely two of the best in the game. And in any other city or any other franchise, you would immediately realize, holy shit, these guys are the two of the best in the game, right? But they aren't necessarily the faces of the league, right? The faces of the league are LeBron James, Steph Curry. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of where Luka.
Don't leave my guy out of this.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that far. I don't think he's there yet, but they're trying. I would say Seth is Giannis and Embiid, because it's like, you know, he's, even though LeBron isn't necessarily like at the top of, you know, the standings or whatnot, like everything he does is main event. And that's kind of where Roman is. That's kind of where Sammy is right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of where Cody is trying to get to. And there's a difference between being the biggest show and the most valuable. And I think Seth Rollins, as far as like at the end of the day, you need those guys to not just be ready to be a main eventer at the drop of a hat, but also need to be the main eventer at the D town on the fourth stop of a live event trip. You know what
I'm
saying?
I was actually going to say that there's a weird,
you know what I'm saying?
There's like, there's a weird thing with Roman not really working the circuit full time.
Yeah.
That
Giannis plays every night.
Yeah,
that
these dudes are there. They're working. They are main eventing these shows. You know, I mean, there was a period where you'd have like Sammy and the Usos main eventing, with Sammy sort of cosplaying as Roman Reigns to get the crowd laughing, whatever. But like, yeah, I mean, Roman makes it necessary for there to be this sort of like second tier of potential main eventers that aren't actually actively feuding with him. You know, right. So you can have the Seth Rollins match that you want to see on, you know, a Thursday night in Des Moines or whatever, you know, like, so, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we always talk about Kevin Owens on this show. We have for years, as he's just sort of plug and play, and it takes 5 minutes to heat him up into the main event. You know, it takes no effort at all. You don't, even if you don't believe that he's going to win, you know, it's a match you're going to want to see. And he somehow makes you believe, he tickles that little, you know, the kayfabe lobe in your brain just enough that makes you compelled by what's about to happen. I mean, when he was feuding with Roman, not this most recent time, but the previous time, it was, we did three pay-per-views, and on the third, and we thought he was done after each one. By the third one, you're like, well, he's obviously not going to win now. And you're like, but then why would he be here? You know? Yeah. And then, Seth's not the same. I mean, Seth is plug and play. You know, he can absolutely do it and do anything, and he can do comedy just like Owens. And you know, they're all, you know, jacks of all trades or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, it's like, if you're Owens, I can see. I believe, you know, the match that Owens had at WrestleMania last year was a huge validation. Obviously, it was a huge spot for him. That was all you kind of need to say. I think Rollins in that same position would have still been a little bit justified in feeling left out. You know, I mean, he should be main eventing, and it's clear that the company has all this confidence in him. There's just not enough spots at the top. And I kind of wonder if there's a point where you just get too good at being the top of the second tier. You know,
all it's right, like, so I'll ask you this then, Dave, and maybe not. And maybe answer this in a way that's not necessarily has to do with his skills, but I guess just in sort of accomplishments. Do you think Seth Rollins might have peaked too early? Do you think like WrestleMania 32 was the moment where he steals the World Heavyweight Championship, and like a moment that a lot of us thought like, okay, He's arrived, and this is the beginning of him main eventing the next 10 WrestleManias, and like, he hasn't main evented any since. You know what I mean? Like, there hasn't, you know, he hasn't been like the guy who went on last ever since that moment. You know what I mean? So like, it's a fair question. Do you think he might have possibly? And I don't think skill wise he's peaked early, but maybe as far as like moment, like when is he going to have a moment that's bigger than that to really establish himself as like, okay, like I'm a true number one guy here. Like, you trust me with sending everyone home happy at your biggest show. Is it only against Roman that he gets treated like that? Because then you got to ask yourself some other questions about Seth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that is a good question. I don't think he peaked too early, but I do think that in some sense, whether it's with Roman or not, his career is sort of a constant search for a moment to top that moment.
Yeah. I would say that. So here's the perfect argument for anybody still out there that still doubts my skills as a wrestling GM after my trades last week. Here's the reason why great moments and great wrestling don't go hand in hand. Because anybody who's watched Seth Rollins wrestle for the past 3, 4, 5 years will tell you he's at worst a top 2 or 3 wrestler bell to bell, period, right? At worst.
Rollins and WWE.
Rollins and WWE, exactly. Yeah. But if he went anywhere else, he would be just as good as anybody would say is better than him. Like, you can't definitively say, like, oh, he's that much better than Will Ospreay, is that much better than him, or Kenny Omega is that much better than him, or Kota Ibushi is that much better than him. I'm like, we haven't seen, and he's shown the ability to be like, well, if you put him in a ring with those people, like, he could probably show you he's probably better. But at the same time, how many moments does he have? You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't have those moments that let you believe, like, okay, like, outside of stealing the main event from Brock and Roman all those years ago, what has he truly done that's made you sit up and say, like, holy shit, that was a massive Seth Rollins moment? He's actually been on the opposite of a lot of these moments, right? Like, he's kind of been on the opposite side of a lot of these big moments. And there's value in being that guy, too. But just going off of what he said about feeling disrespected about a generational main event and him not being involved in it, I think it's because he's lacked those moments of this past several year. Like, if you think about all the great stuff that's happened to Seth Rollins in the past several years, it's been shit that's happened to him. Like, that crazy RKO, like the return of Sting, the return of Cody Rhodes, like the Shield getting broken up. Like, it's all shit that's happened to him, not necessarily shit that he's done. You know what I mean? Like, the breakup of the Shield and stealing WrestleMania were his, like, those are his moments. Does it really equate to the quality of ring work that he's done? It doesn't, because it's imbalanced. Like, his quality wrestling matches far outseed, like, his incredible moments that he's had as a WWE superstar.
Yeah. I'll give you that. I just think that...
And I hope I don't come off like a hater. Like, I'm not trying to, like, I'm a Seth Rollins fan. I'm just trying to be honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want him to hear this and think motherfuckers is hating
on
him.
No, okay, but I would say this.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
If it was Seth that had torn his pec last year, everything else is the same. I mean, they worked the match. Seth works through the torn pec and he makes his semi-shocking return at the Royal Rumble and wins it. And is now cruising to the main event at WrestleMania. Is he? I feel like he would be just as hot as Cody right now.
I don't think.
I mean, Cody's got a little magic or whatever, but like give him that storyline. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't.
I think what makes the Cody story different is, you know, he doesn't enough WWE stink on him for him to not, like, they've really just did the same thing that they've done with lots of people. They've done it with Edge, done it with Triple H, they've done it with Seth. You get injured, you come back at the Royal Rumble, you went, like, it's been done before. What makes this different is because Cody's lineage, Roman's reign as a world champion, and the fact that, like, this dude still has, like, this entire outside of WWE story that no matter, like, if he even brings a little bit of that into WWE, it's only seemed like, oh, wow, ooh, he mentioned that. Wow. You know what I mean? And Seth just doesn't have that right now. You know what I'm saying? So there's a little bit of different magic to Cody than it is to Seth.
It's true. I don't know what the move is. I mean, maybe if Roman does actually drop the title, the unified title at WrestleMania, then maybe you go to a Seth Roman program after that. You know, that's kind of make it for all the marbles, not all the titles, but, you know, kind of have their blood feud then. But he is absolutely elite. You know, if he fights Logan Paul or whoever at WrestleMania, it's going to be in a big spot. And he's going to have a big opportunity to shine. I think that's the question with Seth, though. Is it's
CM Punk.
Yeah. Well, that's something entirely different.
Not even a little bit.
I just think too many other people have. I think the comments that people made after that, you know, were just kind of discounted it for me. I don't know. I think Seth's just out there,
yeah,
saying true things to try to stir shit up, just kind of in a very general way. I mean, I don't think he's trying to stir shit up. I think he's just like
keeping it real.
Yeah, keeping it real. What's the worst thing that could happen?
Yeah, he's reached that, like, Kobe Bryant level. You remember, like, the end of Kobe's, like, career when he was just, like, had zero filter in all of his press conferences? And he was just saying whatever. It's like, damn, like, where'd this guy come from? I think that's where Seth is right now. It's like, what are you going to... You going to reprimand me for an interview? Like, are you? All right, who's going to go do your house shows? Who's going to do... who's going to run Raw? Who's going to do all that?
Like, before SummerSlam?
Yeah. I mean, Seth's in that place where he could just kind of, he's a little Teflon, man. Like, you know, what are you going to really do to him to punish him for saying something. And if there's anybody that knows exactly the line he knows he can toe, it's him, because there's probably nobody closer to Triple H or who's more tied to his success than he is with Triple H. So I'm pretty sure he knows Triple H ain't gonna do nothing to me. Like, he probably knows in the back of the head, like, man, I'm good. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, to me, I think that, you know, I mean, Seth has had his injuries, obviously. He's had taken some time off over the years or whatever, but it's almost like his consistency works against him in a certain way. That just like, you don't, he's not in the main event because they're just like, dude, we got a decade of Seth. Yeah. Like, we're going to be, when this happens, it'll be great. In the meantime, he can make his money other ways, you know, like whatever. I don't know. I think he's so spectacular. I think it's a good thing that he's heartbroken or whatever over not being in the main event of WrestleMania. So, well, whatever he does, it's going to be fun to watch.
I agree.
You mentioned, well, I want to go finish out this basketball analogy. Who's KD in this story? Is it just like Kenny Omega or Moxley sitting over in AEW? Just like, yeah, they're the best in the world. They just like need to, you know, Omega's a sort of interesting one. He just sort of, you know, he's too good at team ball. He recedes a little bit despite being the best. Do you want to keep going with it, or are we done?
I would think it's definitely Kenny, right? Like, Kenny is definitely the guy where you would just wish he would just be just a little more selfish. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just a tad bit more selfish, like, just for on the fan's point of view, like, if KD was a little bit more selfish, he could clear, like, he can have a
game like Kenny going over to Japan and just, like, wait, holy shit, he can work one-on-one matches like that now? He can still put out five-star matches? Like, yeah. This, and then, yeah, he's working trios, you know.
It's like he could roll out of bed and drop 45. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if Kevin Durant could average 45 if he wanted to, you know what I'm saying? Is it the best thing for his body at this stage of his career after dealing with a lot of injuries that might have slowed him down a little bit? Probably not, but he's still good enough to be able to, you know, on his worst day, still be able to put up a performance that makes you say, oh, this guy's at least top five I've ever seen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the Kenny Omega, Kevin Durant stuff. And Kevin Durant's literally always had an all-star teammate his entire career. So I guess the Young Bucks being Kenny's teammates make a lot of sense. So, I'll roll with those. I'll roll with those.
Speaking those of AEW, did you see Tony Khan, was it on Levitard, say that the biggest feud in wrestling is WWE versus AEW? And they really hate each other, and it's a real thing that's going on. Did you see those quotes?
I did see those quotes. Yeah, I did. And good for him for saying that, because that's what you should say. Like, you should make it seem like you guys are neck and, like, if I'm a casual, it's Super Bowl weekend, and I get to listen to Dan Le Batard, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna listen to that after that interview and think exactly how he thinks. Like, oh wow, like, they must be really close. Like, I see them on the opposite channels. Like, I see them just as much as I see WWE stuff now. Like, now to people who are in the weeds and, you know, catch up with ratings, catch up with bottom lines and all that stuff, like, you know, it's not necessarily the case. And the rivalries is really between, like, the fan bases and maybe Tony, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, that's what you say. That's how you get your fan base excited. I think he's very well aware that, like, being anti-WWE is good for business for AEW. And that fan base is a fan base, a good amount of it, not saying all of it, but a good amount of it was built off of frustration from WWE. So if you're an AEW diehard and you hear that shit, you're going to be like, fuck yeah, you know what I'm saying, and be along with it. But, you know, I don't necessarily think it was true to say all that. Like, I don't necessarily think it was a factual statement, but, like, you're a promoter. Like, you're going on TV. That's what you do. You promote. And that's the mission accomplished. We're talking about it on Masked Man Super Bowl Monday.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little, it's obviously psychology. I think you said it exactly right. Putting himself over, you know, getting headlines about being in neck and neck, you know, dogfight, basically. and everything that just about everything that Tony Khan does is pretty calculated, right? So I mean, it was deliberate. Do they really hate each other? I mean, if you say that you really hate each other,
hate's a strong word.
Hate's a strong word. And if he's being truthful about it, well, really, you can only be truthful about yourself, mm-hmm. right? No, I get it. I mean, he said that there was some contract, WWE were conning people to break their contracts and stuff. I mean,
I'll say the
historical record will tell. You know, we'll eventually have to report that out. But there's reason to really, you know, hate somebody that's working against your interests, you know, your competition or whatever. I mean, that makes sense. But I don't know. And certainly from the WWE point of view, they are a lot more, you know, they care a lot more about AEW than anybody there will ever let on. You know,
right.
I mean, Vince's whole thing is never sell. Right. And I'm not talking about selling the company. His thing is never sell. Never let them see you sweat, basically.
Yep.
And that's the whole company ethos. So, you know, but do they hate? Is anybody at WWE hate AEW? I don't know. They might say it, but who knows? Who knows? I mean, I'm guarantee there's some people over there that appreciate. I know for a fact there's some people over there that appreciate the platform. You know, that appreciate the fact that the wrestling world is bigger. I saw a thing the other night that there's wrestling on in the prime time, like six nights a week or something. You know, like whatever. Yeah. It's like it's all over the place, and that's only. I mean, oversaturation is a thing, but I think in general, it's a real benefit for the industry.
Yeah, I think they've helped the overall health of professional wrestling, AEW, no matter how you feel about them. And I think people on both sides could say that, but once the story is told and history is, you know, once the history books are told on this story between AEW and WWE, Tony Khan will be on the record of saying, I hate you guys first. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how well that'll bode for them, man. But and there's definitely an opportunity where people will feel some type of way about that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I would hope that's not necessarily the case. I don't think there's true hate on either side, but it makes for good business to feel like there is. So I completely understand why he said what he said.
Sweat. You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Let's turn back to SmackDown for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Drew and Sheamus, the team who will not be named, defeated Hit Row. A lot of Hit Row are, you know, jobbers now, comments going around. But let's set that aside for a second. But Drew and Sheamus win, and then there's a post-match Viking Raiders segment. So it looks like we're going towards a, you know, Drew and Sheamus versus Viking Raiders program. I don't know when that's going to play out. I mean, the cool thing is that they're playing out they're paying off a lot of SmackDown stuff on SmackDown, right? It's not just gearing up for Elimination Chamber or the pay-per-view. I have a theory. Can I tell you my theory?
What's the theory?
This is more of like a fantasy booking come to life thing. But what if Drew ends up with the Viking Raiders?
Ooh.
Couldn't you see Drew with like the full, you know, Braveheart face paint and the Viking Raiders behind Ooh. Him squaring off against all three brawling Groots at WrestleMania?
Ooh, I did not think of that until. I wouldn't be mad at that, yo. I would not be mad at that. The more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, like, where is this Viking Raiders story going? Like, are you going to build the Viking Raiders up to be monsters, or like, not for nothing, they kind of look better as henchmen, don't they? Like, don't they, wouldn't they look like some badass henchmen next to Drew McIntyre and, mm-hmm. and all that? And that, like, now that I literally did not picture it until you started talking about it. And now I'm like, a heel Drew McIntyre with the Viking Raiders as like his minions. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I could get behind that. I could really get behind that. Okay. I'm down. Okay.
Well, don't get too excited because it probably won't happen. But
no, now it is. Now we're going to put it in the ethos, right? Like, people who listen to this show are going to be like, oh, you know, and I'm sure Drew is a great babyface, though. That's my only thing.
No, like, but he's like, but we're done with that for now. Drew needs a do-over. And I think that I think putting him with Sheamus has been a breath of fresh air in a lot of ways. But that's not the final turn, right?
Yeah,
that's not the last chess move or whatever you want to say. Now listen, I'm not always a fan. I think on the record as historically being anti the notion of like, hey, this isn't working. This gimmick isn't working, so let's give this gimmick a best friend. You know, like, that almost never is a good, that's almost never a good idea. However, I feel like there's some sort of, there's some weird synchronicity there that could really work. I don't know. There's a lot of people, a lot of gimmicks getting best friends on SmackDown these days. Madcap Moss got his real life girlfriend, partner, whatever, Emma, as his on-screen paramour, and then won in the main event to get a shot at Gunther's IC title. That's going to happen, I think, next week on SmackDown, or this week on SmackDown, not at the Elimination Chamber. this is another one where I have a theory. I'm not in on Madcap Moss.
You're one for one right now.
I love Madcap Moss. I've said it before in the show. There is a vanishingly short list of dudes under WWE contract or professional wrestlers in general who you do a double take when you see them in the hotel lobby or the, you know, airport or the bar. Madcap Moss is one of them. Madcap
Moss
is
the airport test. Yes.
Yeah. He's just like, who the fuck is that thing? You're like, and he's talented as hell. You know, I mean, people like Heyman have gone to bat for him on the, you know, in interviews and stuff like that. I mean, it's real. He's got to find a lot of why and what and depth and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
When they put him with Emma, that was the best example of like, dude, he's not over. Let's give him a friend, or in this case, a girlfriend. Just like, this isn't helping at all. And obviously, she's doing a little like, you know, trying. Well, she called him Riddick backstage. A lot of people pointed out that to me is the messiest part of this whole thing. Oof. It's like they're together on screen because they're together in real life, right? So we're just sort of drawing from reality to put them there.
And then they're like together in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's they were together before she came back. Like they were posting stuff. So they're together in real life. That's why we have them together, you know, on screen. And yet in their most intimate moment backstage, or whatever, she called him Riddick. Like that's I'm using your former kayfabe name, I guess it's still technically.
But that's how you know they're really, you know, I mean, his mama didn't name him Madcap. You know what I mean?
No, I know what they're trying to do, but you know? I don't know. What is Madcap Moss's real name? I don't even know. Hold on. Let me look it up.
Is it?
His name is Michael Carter Rallis.
It's Madrican Cappington Moss.
I should just call him. It's like Michael. No? Mike Moss.
Magic Captain
Mike
Moss.
I'm pretty sure Jerry the King Lawler beat Mike Moss on a Saturday show back when I was a kid. Here's my thing. You put them together. They got to know this isn't going to do much for either of them to put them together.
Yeah.
But now he's getting the push. She's sort of, you know, inspiration or whatever. I think you play off the real life thing and put them together on screen because it makes the first part of the story fast forward, right? You don't have to go through all the wooing and do how did they get together or whatever. Fans just accept it. But what's going to matter is not this. What's going to matter is the turn where either he turns on her, and man, that would be a huge sacrifice to bring her back just to toss her out. Or maybe they both turn heel, or you know, maybe she leads him astray. She's a bad influence, like whatever. There's a lot of ways you could go with it, but I don't think that Yeehaw, I'm a successful babyface Madcap Moss is what they're aiming for here. And I hope that, you know, whatever happens against Gunther is going to take him down start him down the path that I'm imagining here. What do you think? What do you think the Madcap Moss future bets look like?
Dave, I was going to ask you, do you think after WWE has shown they can successfully tell a long-term crime drama / mafia story in the Bloodline, right? Do you think they can tell a successful romance? Like, we're going to straight up have a baby face who just loves his lady, and she's not going to try and lead him astray. She's not going to be telling him to go heel. She's just a good supportive girlfriend. Like, do you think WWE has it within their facilities to have a happy, healthy relationship wrestling couple in 2023?
if tomorrow night on Valentine's Day, was just like, Check out the, oh my God, look what WWE is doing. Check this out. Send you a link. And it's like a live stream of them just going to dinner on Valentine's Day, unedited. You just see them, like, he picks her up, they go to the restaurant, they sit down, they order their food, they have like surprisingly delightful banter. You know, their conversations are interesting, but it's really just like a live stream of them eating food on Valentine's Day and talking. How many minutes would you watch before you're just like, why am I doing this?
Well, absolutely zero, right? But it's not what you do that for, you know? Like, you do that for, you know, you build it up for weeks and months. And, like, every time you think this is going to be the time somebody turns on someone or the trouble in paradise or something, like, they just like have a nice talk, a nice healthy talk, and just have some real understanding, and like there's no swerves at all. The swerve is they're just a happy, healthy relationship, and like he loses and she doesn't blame him, you know what I mean? Like there's no thing where he loses the match and she gets in the ring, he's like, see, I told you, no, it's pretty, like we've seen with a million other valets and girlfriends in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, That's the hook. We just have Moss and Emma, the only non-toxic couple in WWE history. That's the story. That's where you go with Madcap Moss. Just the first.
It's absolutely impossible. You give it a month of like really featuring it, and it automatically it's like John Cena or like Cody in AEW. It's like this guy's a heel. He just doesn't know it, right? So like people would the nicer they are to each other, the more people will just detest them.
Yes. Just like, what are we doing?
You just know like, I mean? Get a room chance, like echoing from the tops of the arenas, you know? We're wrestling fans. We don't want to see people happy.
You don't believe wrestling fans would like to see like a nice, healthy relationship that, you know, that with understanding and grace?
There's a reason why Seth and Becky are not together every week on Monday Night Raw on screen. It's like, what? They get along? They're raising a child together? That's not a storyline.
That's not fun.
Wake me up when that kid can swing a chair. That's all I care about.
Exactly.
No, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think what gets my wheels spinning is that Madcap's not there. He's not ready for this, but they're putting him in this spot. And so my hope is, and my expectation is that this match against Gunther will be the trigger for whatever happens next, because they have to look at him and say, well, you know, they must have another something planned for him. And it's not winning the IC title cleanly on SmackDown and taking that to WrestleMania. I mean, that would be something.
That would be something. But I don't think it's going to happen.
We didn't even talk, I don't think, last week about the final lineup for the Elimination Chamber. Well, we can talk both men's and women's. But since we're talking about young talents who are in real life relationships with other stars, what do you think Montez is going to do in the Elimination Chamber? You excited to see him in there?
I'm extremely excited to see him in there.
What a step up from, and no offense, from like what I expected to happen, which was like putting the Profits with Edge and Beth Phoenix to go on against the full Judgment Day. You know, like I was like, I thought there was no way he was going to win that match against Elias. And I was so excited to see what he does in the chamber.
Yeah, I think Montez is the most interesting person in that chamber because the U.S. title's on the line. Theory, you know what I mean, stepping into his maturity lately. I think Johnny Gargano, that story is interesting between him and Austin. But I think that there's no real, I think from everybody involved in that match, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's Seth Corbin, right? Seth Gargano, Theory, Tez, and God forgive me for forgetting who the last person is, but I want to say it's Corbin, but I might be wrong about it. No, it's definitely not Corbin because he lost.
You're trying to tell me who's in the match?
Yes.
Austin Theory, Seth Rollins, Johnny Gargano, Bronson Reed, Damian Priest.
That's okay.
And Bronson Montez Reed, Damian Priest.
Okay. I feel like all of them except Montez Ford and Bronson Reed have like a direct line to the United States Championship. You know what I mean? Damian Priest obviously had his long reign. Austin Theory and Seth Rollins have their issues. Austin Theory and Johnny Gargano have their issues. Bronson Reed knew, but I think I think Montez Ford is interesting because the Elimination Chamber is almost in the Royal Rumble, like the Royal Rumble in the stake that like you can make a name for yourself and stand out without necessarily winning, right? And have like a moment that makes you feel like, okay, like this person is made for this next step. And I think this is Montez's first real big pay-per-view solo showcase. You know what I'm saying? So I think of everybody in this match, I think Montez is the most intriguing to me because I feel like we're going to get a good idea of what he could do as a solo star for the first time in a real high pressure situation, you know? So I don't know if there's a situation where he's even winning the United States Championship or what story you tell after that, you know? I feel like maybe there's something that happens within that match that really starts to tell the story of Montez slowly turning into a solo star. But I don't know how you get there quite yet because we haven't really gotten to hear from the Street Profits outside of like some backstage stuff and what's really going on with them as a team. You know what I mean? So I'd be interested to see how that works out and see how Angelo Dawkins fits into that because them two have been on a tear all year, especially Dawkins. Mm-hmm. And I think for a while, we all were just kind of waiting for, okay, the eventual Street Profits breakup is going to happen or whatever, and Montez is going to go off to be this, you know, megastar. But I think in the past year, we've all kind of realized, like, Dawkins is going to be right there with him, you know, and there's a story to tell there about being the guy who had to, you know, improve in front of all of our eyes. He was an OG NXT class. Like, he's one of the first guys out of that class, you know, one of the longest members of the developmental system. So I'm really excited to see how Angelo Dawkins fits into this match and if there's any sort of hint of a breakup between these guys starting at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, I don't know if that's even necessary, but I do hope that someday we get to, like, the Bianca Montez story, after just running down the idea of putting real life couples together. I've already, I think that there's definitely a story you could tell with them, right? I mean, what did I say before? Just like a reverse Macho Man, Miss Elizabeth, except Miss Elizabeth is like an elite performer, right? I mean, just to like, I just like the idea of being one of the two of them just getting a huge ego. And I think Bianca it could really go either way and just sort of dragging the other one, you know, into the dark side. But the future's so bright with them. It's nice to see them after all the talk about Seth that we had, at least with Montez, with Moss, you know, we're pulling the trigger on some of these next gen guys. And certainly the sort of half generation before them. Everybody's kind of getting an opportunity.
Yeah. I think the Elimination Chamber is fun because there's opportunities to tell stories within the stories, and it's for a mid-card title. You know what I mean? It's not for a world title for the first time. So I think, you know, especially on the Raw side, we're going to get a good glimpse into, I think, the Cody Rhodes era of Monday Night Raw and what that sort of looks like underneath him. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody on there looks to play a prominent role in that roster going forward. And I think a lot of those stories start this weekend at Elimination Chamber.
What else we need to talk about? What did we forget, Brian?
It looked like you hit every.
I think we hit everything, story. Man. Raw's in Brooklyn tonight, man. You know, it's New York City, so it's always going to be a fun show. Unfortunately, I won't be there tonight. I gotta do the Knicks and Nets MSG, but if that game ends early, I will Uber my way all the way over to Barclays to see if I can catch at least the last hour, but who the hell knows? But I'm assuming New York before a pay-per-view or a premium live event, something of note usually always goes down. So I'm looking for something of note to go down tonight, especially in Brooklyn, New York, right before we get to Elimination Chamber and we're fast tracking to the road to WrestleMania. So I'm excited to see where that goes from here.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, MJF. Did y'all see the story about the fans calling the police after his promo?
No. Why did they call the police?
Why did they call the police, Brian?
Because he cut a promo and he talked about being in an accident with the girl, and then he switched sides and I think the girl was like unconscious and he said, we'll just call her Liv. And so he's tweeted that if he gets one more phone call from the Nassau Coliseum, he swears. So yeah, fans called the police after he cut this promo on Dynamite last Wednesday.
It's good to see kayfabe still alive, damn it. I love
remember
it.
When they called it? The most they infamous one was when...
With Vince, right?
Oh, well, right. There is... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they call after Vince, quote-unquote, died, there were a lot of calls.
And the NWO, I think when they threw Rey Mysterio like a lawn dart into into the trailer.
There was also way back... I wrote about this in my book. There was an episode of America's Most Wanted. Are you old enough to remember that show?
I remember America's Most Wanted.
Brian, do you know what that is? So like they would talk about crimes. We got to find this dude, whatever. But then they would have like a reenactment of the crime, you know, and with obviously with actors. And there was just one crime where the dude looked, I guess, more than passingly like Ray Traylor, aka the Big Boss Man. And it aired on TV, and they're like, if you've seen this man, call right now. And all these people just called the hotline and they were like, I know where that man is. The WWF is appearing at the Nassau Coliseum tonight. Go arrest him. And but it wasn't him. And it was the actor anyway. So that's weird. It was not the Big Boss Man. He's on the other side of the law.
Gotta love it.
We're interested in locking up the crooks and criminals. Anyway, love Ray Traylor.
Remember the Big Boss Man theme song?
When it's coming hard time,
down from Cobb County, Georgia, better read the signs. Respect the law and order, you the hard time. That's my shit.
That's a great 80s song.
80s theme music is undefeated.
People always talk about
lyrics. They had lyrics. Like, there was a theme to it. It was
Slick,
like, yo.
Reverend Slick.
We got this character, yo. He's this thing. Sing a song about him. Say less. Yeah,
everyone talks about the wrestling thing. Like, oh, like bring back Jim Johnson. Like, whatever. It's a different era, man. Like, TV show theme songs are great back then, too.
Of course.
Like, I will spend all day, like, just screaming, fighting, extolling the virtues of, like, you know, the 227 theme song.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh,
is it like
a banger right there?
Yeah,
yo.
Sung guys, by Marla Gibbs.
Step by step, day by day.
There's so many good ones back there.
Remember Step by Step?
Yeah, of course I remember Step by Step.
Right after Full House. God damn. Yeah, we got to bring back theme songs, man.
I know.
Y'all got too cool. Y'all watch the Sopranos do like a licensed song first, and then like other TV shows just do that weird thing where they just like flash the title and then just go right to the show.
Yeah,
it's so like, nah, man.
Because they want to jump right in to keep people. Why they want to do the cold open thing like we do, like wrestling does, like whatever. But also,
Dave,
sometimes you want to just hear that song, man. Sometimes the best part of watching the show is like just hearing the, you know, One Day at a Time theme song kick in, and you're like, yeah, this is gonna rock, man. I can sing along.
The Family Matters theme song. It's the rare condition this day and age. Leaving the good news on a newspaper page. Yeah, come on, man.
This should be our whole, this is our new show. We're just going to do the theme song show. I feel like we found it.
Dave, I love our cold opens. I love our cold opens. If we had a Different Strokes level opening theme song to the show.
Written by Alan Thicke, the dad from Growing Pains. Yeah, that is a, that, there's, that, that's probably top of the tops.
At least.
Yeah, we gotta work on that. If anyone listening wants to write us a theme song,
please.
That we will play and probably not use.
It's gotta have a 90s vibe to it. And it has to describe the show in full detail in less than 30 seconds. Or else we can't use it.
Oh, man.
It's got to be a real deal 90s sitcom theme show. And I swear to you, I will do everything in my power to get Bill, to get Dave, and to get everybody in Spotify to clear this theme song if you go hard and make it. Don't use no samples. Use some real deal. I'm talking to real deal musicians out there, all right? If you really want to be this theme song, this is your challenge for the week. Oh, get us a Masked Man Show theme song, 80s cheese only. Please.
Oh my God, I love it.
World
all right.
Move to the beat of just one.
Different intros.
Oh my God, like the eight people still listening to the show at this point are just like, I have a Casio in the closet. Should I get? No.
Bring out the Casio.
I'm just going to listen to Cheap Eat.
Bring out the Casio.
Oh, that's great. Well, anyway, that's your theme song.
Monday show, damn it.
That is. You want to get some plugs in, Cass?
Yeah, man. The Wale Mania tickets are on sale now. Them joints are moving. I can't wait to see y'all in Los Angeles. I think we sold out of VIP tickets already. It's crazy. But please, Thursday, March 30th at the Novo. Tickets on sale at AXS.com. Wale Mania going down. Lots of surprise guests. Going to be an incredible night of DJing, music, parties, good times, good drinks, good fun. Your favorite wrestlers, your favorite hip-hop artists, your favorite athletes, your favorite celebrities. Masked Man Show Live. The best way to kick off your WrestleMania weekend in Los Angeles, Thursday, March 30th, Wale Mania at the Novo, going down. And of course, ended by an incredible performance by my brother Wale and lots of special guests. He's in Los Angeles. I've heard some names that are coming through already. And if you enjoyed Dallas last year, let me tell you something. Y'all ain't seen shit yet. Let's get it.
We got some Ringer Wrestling Show stuff to announce soon, too, yes. I believe. So, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But stay tuned for all that stuff. So check out all of the great shows on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. Masked Man Show, Cheap Heat, Peter Rosenberg's Friday Something, Wednesday Worldwide. And yeah, just keep listening in. You can also hear me on the Press Box, the Book of Wrestling. Apologies as always to John Moxley. We'll figure out what basketball player you are next week. We'll see you back here on Thursday, Humanoids.
Peace.